Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this Lord's Day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the fifth Sunday in the season of Lent. We have one more Sunday in Lent, which will be next Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then we will begin Holy Week. So please, we'll have some information in the bulletin next week about the events of Holy Week. Please plan. We do plan to have a good Friday service for Holy Week, so please plan to be here for our good Friday service. Just to remind everyone that on Saturday, April the 1st, we will be having the Outreach Committee Cleanup Day that will be again at 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. It's a wonderful opportunity to be out in the community, to engage the community, and to invite the community to join alongside us as we seek to keep Alney a beautiful place in which to live. And so, again, that is going to be on April the 1st. I still want to remind people that our Wednesday Bible study is still in full swing. We are studying, reading the book, Meeting Jesus at the Table by Cynthia M. Campbell and Christian Coy Foer. You can still plan to be with us. We are halfway through the book, but still plan to be with us for that. Again, that's 6:30 on Wednesday. Wednesday evenings. Still other things, of course, happening at Alney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time, read your bulletin, also go to our church website to stay abreast of what is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
This morning's scripture reading is Psalm 130. It can be found in your Bibles on page 538. Listen to God's word for us. Out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, I hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This ends the reading of God's holy word.
One of the things that I often find interesting about the Bible is that it is it's a book that is filled with holes. Have you ever noticed that it's filled with the stories of people who often find themselves in the pits of life, people who often find that they've stumbled or for some reason find themselves in a deep, dark hole or a deep pit. There's the story of Joseph, the favorite son of the great patriarch Isaac, who is attacked by his brothers and thrown into a deep pit, only to be sold into slavery by some passing Ishmaelites. And again, even when he reaches Egypt, he is enslaved and thrown again into the dungeon by the king himself. But he is someone who experiences the pits of life. There's a story of Daniel thrown into a lion's den to be devoured by the beast. And there's a story of Jonah, the disobedient prophet who tries to run from the Lord, only to be thrown overboard into the sea and swallowed up by a great fish. Can't get lower than that. Can't sink lower than that. The pits, deep darkness, a deep, deep hole. And then, of course, there is the psalmist in our text this morning, who is also in some sort of deep, dark hole. Not a literal hole, of course, but a hole just the same, a hole in which the psalmist cries out to the Lord in the very depths of his pain and anguish. I think it's fair to say that most of us have been where the psalmist is at some point or another in our lives. We've all found ourselves in the depths of a deep, dark pit that we are unable to extricate ourselves from on our own. And that's why I like Psalm 130 that Howard read this morning. Psalm 130 is one of the Psalms of Ascent, so-called. It's one of the psalms that the Jewish pilgrims would sing as they made their way to the temple to be in the very presence of God. But it's also a prayer. It's the kind of prayer that you pray when you are totally overwhelmed, a prayer that you pray when you're at the end of your rope, when your life is dark and chaotic and hopeless, when everything is in shambles and you're in need of God's mercy, you're in need of God's forgiveness, you're in need of God's rescue. It's the kind of prayer that you pray when your life is in the pits. I love the way that Jim Taylor has paraphrased this psalm in his book, The Gift of New Life. He says, God, hear me. Please listen to my pleas. I am a helpless blob of misery. I have dissolved in self-pity. If you are keeping score, I am a loser. I'm counting on your mercy. You have power to punish me or to pardon me. My life depends on your decision. And not daring to say a word in my own defense, I wait for your verdict. Like a hungry child waiting for dinner, like a job applicant waiting for a phone call, like a grandmother waiting for the birth of a grandchild, I wait. If your overflowing love, God, cannot forgive me, I have no hope. No one else can free me from my guilt. No one else can free me from the prison of my repeated failures. Only you, Lord, can save me from myself. You are my only hope. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? A prayer from the very depths of whatever miserable hole you found yourself in. I suspect we've all been there at some point or another. I was reading this week about a poet priest in Nicaragua who was imprisoned by the government for his work among the poorest of the poor. He was imprisoned and tortured, and I like his take on this psalm. He translates the psalm as, from the depths I cry in the night, from the prison cell, from the torture chamber in the hour of darkness, Lord, hear my SOS. That kind of sums up the psalm for me. Lord, hear my SOS, hear my cries, hear my anguish in the midst of my current situation, in the midst of this hole that I've gotten myself into. Of course, you don't have to be in prison to know what it feels like to live life in the depths. For anyone who has ever stood by the graveside weeping and grieving over the loss of someone you love, for anyone who has received from the emergency room a call late in the night for anyone living under the weight of guilt and shame for something that you have done to someone, for all of those who are tossing and turning in the night, watching and waiting for the first gleam of light, the first gleam of morning. You know what it means to live life in the pits. In this psalm, Psalm 130, is a psalm for you. Now, one of the things I appreciate about Psalm 130 is its brutal honesty concerning the depths of the darkness that we often find ourselves in. It's brutal honesty about our failures, about our shortcomings, about all the ways that we fall short, about all the ways we make a mess of our lives. You know, sometimes when people are going through difficult periods, we have a tendency, and I do this sometimes too, we have a tendency to offer easy answers. We want them to return back to a semblance of normalcy, and so we have easy answers for them. Easy bromides, offer nice little scripture references, and we want them to kind of snap out of it, snap out of your situation. But Psalm 130 reminds us that sometimes all we can do is pray from the depths of our anguish. Sometimes all we can do is hope and trust in the God who has promised to bring morning to our darkness. And that's what Psalm 130 is about. You know, it was pointed out to me that the last time this passage came up in our lectionary was 3 years ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic. I think that the governor had just shut things down for 2 weeks, and we had shut things down in order to do something called flattening the curve. I can't remember what all it was about, but we were just anticipating 2 weeks of being closed down because of this new pandemic that we had all heard about. But I don't think at that time that any of us had any idea concerning the depths of what we were about to go through. I don't just mean the protracted lockdown or the fears and the apprehensiveness in which we would be living our lives. I don't just mean the hospitalizations and the vulnerabilities and the deaths and the fears that we had for our own lives and the people who are close to us. But I mean the whole way that our nation seemed to be trapped. I mean the divisiveness, the fractures that opened up, the hyper divisions that seemed to have opened up, the hyper politicalization, everything just seemed to be falling apart. We couldn't agree on anything. We couldn't live together. It was as if the nation as a whole, indeed as if the world as a whole, was stuck in and trapped in a deep, dark hole that we had no idea how to get out of. And of course, we're just now coming out of all of that. But it was a pit, a depth moment, a moment when we seemed trapped in the pit. Of course, we have to acknowledge that we've all been infected with something far more deadly, a far more deadlier disease. A spiritual disease that has locked us down into ways of living that are just as deadly than any viral pandemic. And that spiritual disease is sin itself. All the ways that our hearts and our imaginations have been trapped by the powers of sin and death. All the ways that we live our lives at cross purposes with God. All the crazy and messy ways that we live our lives. All the ways that our lives are out of sync with God. All the ways that we made a mess out of our own lives. And out of this wonderful planet that God created good, the Bible often associates the pit or the depths with Sheol. And Sheol, of course, is the shadowy realm of the dead where God's presence is absent. But Sheol is not just the realm of the biologically dead, but Sheol is the whole realm of life where our lives are lived contrary to the ways of God. It's all of that way of life that we seemed trapped, and when we feel trapped in hopelessness. The fact of the matter is that we all live in Sheol, whether we want to admit that or not. All of our lives is one great big pit where we are unable to extricate ourselves from. We look around us and we see the conditions in which our world seems trapped: war, hatred, greed, indifference, racism, all the kind of things that seem to trap us and lead us even further down into the pit. And if that were the end of the story, it would be a sad story indeed. But the psalmist knows something. The psalmist knows something about God. The psalmist knows that God is a loving God, that God is a merciful God, that God is a forgiving God. He knows that God is a rescuing God. He knows that God is a God of steadfast love. The Hebrew word is hesed. God is a God who shows hesed, steadfast love. That's what hesed means, steadfast love. Have you ever experienced steadfast love? You know, sometimes we love people, we demonstrate our love for people, we express our love for people, but then someone does something to us, and then for some reason we're not able to love them anymore. Or maybe someone has done something to us, maybe they've hurt us in some way, and we're unable to love them anymore. But God's steadfast love is a love that never lets go. God's steadfast love is a love that is there even in the midst of our pain and suffering. God's steadfast love is there even when we break God's heart. God's steadfast love is there even when we say no to God. God's steadfast love is there even when we fail to live in to what God wants us to live into. Even when we fail to be what God wants us to be, God's steadfast love continues to hold on to us. God's steadfast love is the love that tells us that no matter how far we sink down into the pit, no matter how low we go, we can't go low enough in which God's love is not there. It's the kind of love that the Apostle Paul talked about when he said that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. No disease can separate us from the love of God. No place can separate us from the love of God. Nothing that we do can separate us from the love of God. Not even the power of death itself can separate us from the love of God. And that's what the psalmist knows. The psalmist knows that he is a sinner. He knows that he has fallen short of God and the ways of God. But he knows that God is a loving, gracious, forgiving God. And that is the God who he prays to. that God would liberate him, that God would save him, that God would free him from the pit, free him from the deep, dark hole that he's gotten himself into. You know, God doesn't save us by reaching down into the pit to snatch us out. God doesn't throw a rope down into the pit so that we might grab hold of it, because we wouldn't know how to grab hold of it. We wouldn't know how to pull ourselves out. Even if God threw a rope down in order to rescue us, God doesn't reach down and try to snatch us out of the pit. But God comes to rescue us from the pit by coming into the pit himself, by coming down into all the dirt and the grime and the hatred of our world, coming down into the pit to rescue us. There's a story about a man who once fell into a pit. Could in no way extricate himself, could in no way get himself out. Was hollering day and night for somebody to come and rescue him. A doctor came by and he asked for help, and the doctor wrote him out a prescription and threw it into the pit. But to no avail. A priest came by and the man asked for help, and he priest wrote out a prayer and threw it into the pit. But again, it had no effect, couldn't save him, couldn't save the man from a pit, from the darkness, from the depths. And then one of his neighbors came by, and his neighbor climbed down into the pit with the man, and the man said, you're crazy. Why did you come down in here? Now we're both stuck down here in the pit. Neither one of us can get out. And the neighbor said, yes, but I've been here before, and I know the way out. And that's who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. He knows the way out. He knows the way out of the darkness. He knows the way out of the pit. He knows the way out of the depths of our anguish and our suffering. He knows the way out. And that's what the season of Lent is. The season of Lent is following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he leads us out of the hole, out of the deep, dark hole that we human beings have gotten ourselves into. And the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the way of self-giving love, of suffering, self-giving love. And he is saying, follow me. Follow me as I've come to be with you. Follow me as I'm leading you out. Follow me because I know the way. I know the way out of your hatred. I know the way out of violence. I know the way out of greed. I know the way from having the idols that have a lock on your heart, from having those idols control you. I know the way. I know the way out. I know the way out of the hole that you've dug for yourself. The season of Lent is a season in which we are asked to trust in God, trust in Christ, trust in the coming of the morning light, so that we can be the people that God has created us all to be, people who love God with all of our hearts, and people who are called to love our neighbors. Let us pray. Gracious God, We live in a world that constantly sends out an SOS. We are seeking everywhere for redemption, seeking to get out of this hole that we've made for ourselves. We spend billions of dollars scanning the heavens, hoping that we might find the answer to get out of our hole. We put our trust in money and consumer things, hoping that somehow money and will lead us out of our hole. We allow ourselves to listen to lies and give our hopes over to leaders who promise that they can lead us out. But all we find is that we dig ourselves a little deeper, a little further into our holes of hatred and anguish and suffering. But you have come among us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to show us the way. Lord, we repent and we ask that you give us the courage and the strength to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out of the darkness, out of the depths, and into the glorious light of your salvation. And we ask these things in his gracious and holy name. Amen.